what is good.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Remember, your religious traditional thinking can nullify the Word of God? Did God not say, you speak to the mountain? Did not God say, let the weak say they are strong? Did God not say that you should call things that are not as though they were? Did not God say in front of the disciples, you can cast that mountain by the things you say? My God, look at this. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whosoever says, everyone say says. Says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall be done. He will have whatever he says. But I've taken a vow of silence. Trying to be holy, trying to please God, taking a vow of silence. And I used to think it's such a noble thing. It is a noble thing to want to bless God and please God. But he says, study the scriptures so you can discern the truth. And divide it correctly. Those people that do that kind of thing, they love. I mean, they're people that they jump into thorn trees for repentance. Easter comes, people are getting nailed to crosses.
True.
I mean, doing it all over. The Philippines and places like that, they get nailed to a cross trying to make atonement for their sins. I mean, the devil, when he roars, depends how you're going to react to that roar. You got to know the Word of God, the truth, so that you can stop that roar. Amen. I mean, what about salvation? Romans 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, amen, that Jesus is the Lord, then you'll be saved. Boss assault! That's a good one. how would you live without being able to ask for the salt? All right. And I'm going to give you a last one. And I've got a whole slew of these that I want to give to you. But we're going to finish up with this one. The trick or the raw. The scheme. Forbidding clergy to get married. Do you know that Aaron, the first high priest, was married to Elsheba, daughter of Amminadab from the tribe of Judah, and had four sons? The first high priest, did you know that? He was married and had children. Do you know that Peter was considered the first pope? And he was married. He's considered the first pope. And his mother-in-law was ill, if you remember, and Jesus came and healed her, and she got up and sorted them out. Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them and gave them this directive. Be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth. I'll make you trustees of my estate, for care for my creation, and rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that roams across the earth. Rule over. Amen. The devil needs to be ruled over by us. We've been blessed. That means he empowered us and gave us authority. Amen. That's what God gave us. But because we hear the roar of the devil and we hear all these different lies that come from different places, from the television, from ministers. I'm not saying all, but there are some that will say to you, tongues of the devil. Are you getting what I'm saying? And now, we won't pray in tongues because there's too much power in that, and the devil doesn't want you to have any more power than you've already got. Are you getting it? So he says, every creature. I mean, and then you look at what happens when you take the God's word and you make it of none effect and void, and you don't get married, and then you look at the results through the ages. Look at the results. Pedophiles, rapists, you name it. Come on. The devil's pulled one on the church for many, many eons. It's time that the people that are mature in the Word of God and know the Word of God stand up and put that roar out. You stop that roar coming at you. Listen, you've got to stop it. You have the authority to reject that thing. He said, what you bound on the earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose in the earth will be loosed in the heavens. You say, I'm not taking the flu. Come on. I'm not taking the sickness. I'm not taking whatever it is he's got to peddle. I refuse. I'm not taking it. I can do that. You better do that. He's given us the authority. But God's sovereign. You're right. And he said, you say those things. You cast the mountain. He's sovereign, and he's sovereign over his word. Are you with me? I have more authority than I realize. And so do you. And we've got to start to exercise that authority. Can you imagine if all of us in this place, and we're rather low in numbers today because of the Labor Day weekend, and everyone's laboring to get out of town and things and just have a good old barbecue. I got my barbecue all ready to rock and roll. I was closing my shutters yesterday. And thank God I bought those ones that you just slide and you hook them. But one won't close. She's only finding out about it now. It won't close. You got the same problem? I mean, it's like clang, clang, clang. And I'm sitting there banging this thing and I'm praying in tongues. Oh, Lord Jesus. Martin Luther, last one. That's a promise. Last one. Martin Luther revealed one of the devil's wiles of works. Martin Luther, in the 15th century, came and he started to understand through the writings of the Apostle Paul in the books in the Bible in Romans and Ephesians, and he started to understand in Romans 1, listen here, 17. This good news tells us, that's the gospel. This gospel tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. It's accomplished from start to finish by faith. And they had ways of works to get accepted into heaven. And people had works to... Do you know that you had to pay this particular denomination to have your sins forgiven? Do you know? That's a great business. Can you imagine the kind of moolah they made? Because everyone wants to go to heaven. They would pay. And the bigger the sin, the more you'd pay. Think about it. And so, works for salvation, he revealed, it's through faith. It is through faith that a righteous person has life, or the righteous will live by faith. And when Martin Luther got a hold of that, that's when he wrote down his 95 thesis and his synopsis, and he nailed it to the cross of the church. Remember that? He nailed it to the cross of the church. To the door of the church, sorry. Jesus nailed ours to the cross.
Yeah, that's right.
Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, it was against us. It was against us. It was contrary to us. And took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross.
Yeah.
All our sins were nailed to that cross. Amen. Martin Luther nailed the works to the door.
Amen.
Religious door. Traditional religious door. How many people in this place grew up with a traditional religious background and have lived in condemnation all your life? I thought I had committed the unpardonable sin 100 times, and hell was the only place I had left. No other choice, because I didn't know the truth. But somehow God managed to get through that darkness. He managed to get through there and said, listen, and all I could hear while he was trying to come to me was this. You understand? And I even heard this, you can't go into another church. It's illegal for you to enter into another church. So that when my family members got married in another church, I wouldn't even go. I was steeped in religion. And I thought I was the worst person on the planet. How many of you have been like that? You felt in your life, how can God forgive this? And all I heard was, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou better not, and if thou doest. That's all I heard. And I heard it from my parents. I heard it from the ministers. I heard it from my school teachers. I heard, thank God, at least I heard that from them. And I heard all that stuff. All of that stuff. Until one day a man got sent into my life. Look, it's closed. One day, God sent a man into my life in my steakhouse. I was a steakhouse owner. And he was a guitar player, and he'd come there with all his sequences. He sounded like a big band. And he'd play, and he'd witness to me about Jesus Christ. Every second he saw me, he would just tell me about Jesus Christ. And I used to call him and say, "You're a bit of a kook." Because he would tell me about the wars in the heavenlies. There's a war raging right now over your head. And I'm like, yeah, type of thing. But he carried on for a solid year. And I thought I was good to go. For a solid year, he told me about Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb nailed to the cross. And I thought, but I know all this stuff. I sat in church. I see him on the cross every week. He's still there. Come, I'll show you him on the cross. He ain't on the cross. He's not there anymore. And just somehow the light, God was able to get through that roaring and somehow get some light. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, 130, and boom, it opened up inside of me. And all of a sudden, I woke up one Sunday morning and I phoned him. I said, "I need to go to church." And before I finished, the phone call didn't even go down. We didn't have cell phones. It was the clack, you remember? "I need to go to church." Before the phone hit there, I heard his wheels squealing outside. I'm not joking. He came in and he took me to a church similar to this. And I walked in and they had a band. Oh my God. I wanted to put garlic around my neck. I was looking. They had drums on the stage. Oh my God, is that a saxophone? What have I come to? What have I come to? And then the band started, like my wife and the band this morning. And the guy in front of me, and there was 5,000 people in this church. I was born again in Rhema in South Africa. And the guy in front of me, the row in front of me, I'm sitting halfway back. The guy in front of me, his leg gets a heebie-jeebies. Like the Quakers, and his leg's going 1,000 miles per second. And I'm sitting... And this is a true story. And all I'm doing is watching his leg. I think I was trying to ignore all the fact that they had musicians and instruments up there. And then when it was all over, not just the basket going past me and flipping 20 cents, now they gave me a message about giving. I thought, "You're not getting my money." And then the pastor got up. And he started to bring a message to the church. "Sweet Lord, I will never forget it. My spirit was so wide open." Amen. That word started coming in. And like everyone, it was me alone in the sanctuary. There were 5,000 people, but they weren't there. It was me and him. And he was looking at me and he was talking to me. And he just bomb after bomb after bomb after bomb. And it was coming in. I was, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And he went for over an hour. There they went an hour and a half. Just preaching. Amen. And when he said, "I'm coming to a close," I'm thinking, "No, no, 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 you can't, you can't, you can't." And I was used to 45-minute services. Yeah. Get in, communion comes, get out. I've been sitting in service for nearly 3 hours and I'm screaming to myself, "No, please don't stop, please don't stop." And then he said, "I want to tell you about Jesus Christ and the way to make sure that you become righteous and get into heaven." And he told me the story, the first time I heard the true story. I'd been in church. I'd never heard the facts. I'd never heard the blood, the righteousness. I knew Jesus was crucified on the cross for my life, but I didn't have any idea what it meant. And when I heard that, he said, "If you want to receive Jesus, come to the front." The guy in front of me nearly tripped me when I ran past him. Guy with the leg, because he was lying on the floor. He lay on the floor right through the service. And I ran to the front with about 200 other people. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And boy, oh boy, I thank God that he got through all of that roaring. He got through all of the attack. And he opened up my mind. I thank God, I thank God, I thank God. I just thank God. And now I don't reject his word any longer.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Worthing Associates Financial and Estate Planning, family owned and operated, serving families like yours for over 25 years. 772-403-5879. We make retirement easy. Securities and advisory services offered through Harbor Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.